Jesus and him coming in the into this world. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Proverbs in chapter 22. I'm going to speak to you topically today, but this will be the first verse I will ask you to be at. So if you would, Proverbs chapter 22. We often hear of a young person who got involved with the wrong crowd, and now their life is in a horrible mess. We know there can be poor friends and evil acquaintances and people who are just a bad influence. Is it true? Can it be that with whom you associate and what circumstances of life you permit yourself has a definite influence upon you? Upon your thinking, your motives, your values, your manner of living? We know that life and association have an effect upon us. It is just the way we are. We learn from others, good or bad. And since this is true, doesn't matter how much and how often we subject ourselves to certain stimuli, circumstances, and conditions of life. I submit unto you that it does matter. Therefore, I wish to speak to you about exposure. And so the title of my message today is that one word, exposure. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And we come to honor you, to worship you. And we trust that our prayers have been heard, the songs have been to your praise. And now as the word goes out today, that which you've laid upon my heart to share, that we pray it would be moved in every one of us by your Spirit. And may it go forth in truth. And we know that your word shall not return unto you void. And so we ask today that you would convict the lost of their sinful condition and bring them to Jesus that they might be saved. And we who are saved might be strengthened and encouraged. Help us to learn today that, Lord, what we subject ourselves to does have an influence, does have an impact, whether lost or saved. And so help us to be concerned about this matter of exposure. So bless this time, we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to think about exposure today, but let me give you a more modern illustration, if I may. This is from an article published in the Journal of Adolescence, and I quote, "Exposure to community violence may cause a variety of emotional reactions, including fear, anger, anxiety, and depression. Violence in entertainment media is also considered by many to be a major contributor to aggressive and violent behavior in real life. Screen-based media violence, such as television, movies, the internet, and video games. Screen-based media violence is the most prevalent and the most thoroughly studied source for children and adolescents." End of quote. The New York Times listed this, and I quote, "Comstock and Paik also conducted a meta-analysis of the studies that looked at the correlation between habitual viewing of violent media and aggressive behavior at a point in time. They found 200 studies showing a moderate positive relationship between watching television violence and physical aggression against another person. In 2005, The Lancet published a comprehensive review of the literature on media violence to date. The bottom line, if it was true in 2005, it's much more true today. The bottom line, the weight of the study supports the position that exposure to media violence leads to aggression, desensitization toward violence, and lack of sympathy for victims of violence, particularly in children." End of quote. And so we see, and we've heard this over and over again, where every now and then they'll come out with a study about the effect of video games and television and all that upon our youth. But it's not just upon the youth, it's upon the adults as well. We know that our circumstances, the stimuli, does have an effect upon us. I offer you this premise. You are highly likely to be more like those with whom you associate, and your living will be most like that conduct which you regularly experience. Does that make sense? You are going to be who you hang around with and what you experience day by day. That's my premise. Let me prove this premise to you biblically. I've asked you to be in Proverbs chapter 22, and so far my first point of the message is the premise biblically established. Number one, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." It's just a simple fact. If we are around that individual and we see their conduct and we're experiencing their activity, we are likely to assimilate that activity. And so he says, don't go with an angry man. Don't go with a furious man, because if you do, you're going to learn his ways. Running with the wrong crowd, you learn the wrong things. Being with the wrong people, you learn the wrong things. Number two, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. A very simple, very quick statement here, and then I'll lead you to another related passage in regard to this. But what we read in 1 Corinthians in chapter 5 and in verse 6 is the Apostle Paul dealing with the sin at the church at Corinth there. He just makes this statement here in 5:6, 1 Corinthians. "Your glorying is not good." Now here's the emphasis I want to make unto you. "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Turn, if you would, to the book of Galatians chapter 5 as a related passage. Now, we certainly understand that a little leaven, you don't need to just infiltrate the whole lump. You just need a little bit, and it's going to permeate the entire lump. Anybody that's a baker knows how those things work. A little bit of leaven will just go throughout the whole loaf. And so Paul talks to them and saying, you got sin in your midst there in the church. Don't you know that a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump? You let this little thing go here and it's going to affect everybody in the assembly. That's what Paul's talking about. Now in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, he expresses this a little bit further, where we see this expression here as he talks to the Galatian people, rebuking them for their concepts of, well, they went to circumcision, that you had to be circumcised to be saved and that kind of a thing. But pick it up in chapter 5, verse 7. He says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." What do we see? Verse 9, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Somebody got to them, somebody came in, was bringing false doctrine, and a little bit of leaven leavened the whole lump. Verse 10, "I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then as the offense of the cross ceased, I would even that they were cut off that trouble you." Just a little bit of leaven. Exposure to them can make a big difference. Number three, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I said to you in my premise, I repeat while you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, you are highly likely to be like those with whom you associate, and your living will be most like the conduct which you regularly experience. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, Paul writing and warning them about loving the truth, going by the truth, the Word of God. And then he says in verse 16, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. For their word," this false teaching, this false prophecies and things like that, "their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already," notice their impact, "and overthroweth the faith of some." And so he had a couple guys come in by notable name there, and he says, they came in, they started talking about the resurrection's over. Some of you have been overthrown by that. You know why? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. What he says here is, "their word will eat as doth a canker." Verse 17, the word canker is the word in the original language for the word gangrene. And so if you're familiar with gangrene, their word eats like gangrene. Once you get that infection and it turns to gangrene, it is going to consume you. It will kill you if you do not get it treated or get it taken care of. gangrene is progressive and it will be destructive. And he says, these people's word was like a canker. It's like gangrene. And so I'll tell you, my friend, who you hang around with does matter. What you hear makes a difference. What you see does make a difference. From a positive perspective, I remind you of this text in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a positive statement, isn't it? Teach, train, surround them, give them what they need. And when they're old, they won't go away from it. Turn to one other place. My fifth point is this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I just want to use this verse as a summation, if you will, of this matter of supporting the premise. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 33, we read these words. And I think it's readily understood. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It's true, isn't it? Turn, if you would, to the book of Philippians chapter 4. I remember when I was a youth, before I was saved, I'm just honest with you, I cursed like a sailor. I think I made up words. I'm not really sure. But I cursed like a sailor. That was just what I did. And I wasn't saved. I didn't know any better. And youth being youth and hanging around with people, you can pick that up. And I've known people in my lifetime that they cursed so much they didn't even realize they were cursing. Every other word was a curse word. I mean, just this and that, just one oath after another. And they don't even realize that they've just done it so much, just a habit with them. I've worked with people down through the years, but you know, I was just getting ahead of myself. When I was saved, God changed my heart and changed my mind. He said, you know, I ought not talk like that. Ought not speak like that. And so I dropped those words from my vocabulary. But down through the years, I've worked in the machine shop for years and years and years, and you work with some salty people in those places. And you get out in the shops and the industry, and you got some people that really don't like to don't speak like I would like for them to speak. And you know what? As much as you want to keep your mind pure, if you hear it over and over and over, do you know what's going to happen? You know, I found myself still thinking it. I don't want to. I don't speak that way. I don't like that. But if I hear it on a regular basis, then that something might happen that might come out in my mind. I won't talk like that, but it'll go through there. Do you know why it is? Boy, it's that exposure to it. It's that influence. Now, I've given you sufficient evidence from the Scripture to establish my premise. What I would like to do in the second point of my message is to give you a biblical exhortation of what the Bible tells us. That being said, about the matter of exposure, what does the Bible say? Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Clean it up, work it out, make it pure. Why? Because what you think is what's going to come out in you, what's exposed to you is what's going to be effect upon you, and it's going to be an impact. And so you want to think on the right things. I don't like it when there's a movie on and they just have to cuss. I turn the movie off. I don't want to hear it. And the thing is, whatever it is that we go through in our lives, whether it's our music or our literature or the movies or the internet or you, the people you hang around with, my friend, I want you to realize that this exposure will have an impact upon you. It will. And we're told, don't think on bad things, think on good things. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul exhorts the Corinthian people in his second epistle to them. And when I taught high school for a little bit, you didn't know I did that, did you? I taught a 10th grade Bible class for a year. And I hammered this text all year long because I figured if they don't remember anything about this class, it's about the kings in the Old Testament. Well, that's kind of boring as dust, isn't it? And it's like watching paint dry. But, you know, I tried to make it as exciting as I could. But when this text came up, I tried to keep it going as much as I could because if they don't remember anything about any of these kings, I hope they remember this all their life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Turn back to Romans 13. What you find in the passage is you just don't have anything in common. Now, I'm not saying eliminate all your acquaintances, because if you do that, you don't have anybody to witness to. You don't have anybody to share the gospel with. You have to have acquaintances. You have people in the workplace and in the schools and in the community. You're going to rub elbows with people that are lost. It's just the way it is. But I don't have to hang around with them and learn their ways. I don't have to do it. And I can have acquaintances, and I can have people in a sphere of witness and testimony without getting down into the garbage dump that they're in. Why? Because the exposure will affect me, and the exposure will affect you. In Romans chapter 13, there's an exhortation that the Apostle Paul gave to the Romans, and in verse 14 it says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Now, I know this is a roundabout way to express this, but it's just a matter of fact that don't make provision. Don't make it possible for you to sin. Now, having said that, you realize that if these things have impressed me, if these things influence me, then don't subject yourself to them, because it's going to have an impact upon you. I've never understood why somebody that's trying to quit drinking would still go to the bars and hang around with those people and hang around with the same people at the, you know, and they're watching the game or something, and they're all sitting around drinking. This guy's trying to quit drinking. Boy, that's just about an impossibility in my book. I don't see how you could do it. I think the influence would be too great. The peer pressure and the temptation is sitting right there. I've known people that tried to quit drinking and kept alcohol in the refrigerator. I know people trying to quit tobacco, and they'd always have a pack laying around. Well, I don't think you're going to quit very easily that way. You just got to get rid of it. Got to get away from it and stay away from it, because the exposure is going to make a difference. We have to be careful about where we take ourselves. And if I go to the party scene, do you know what I can expect of me if I keep going to the party scene? You can expect me to be a partier. You know why? Because that's the influence. That's why I like coming to the house of God, being with God's people, don't you? Because of the influence. Being with God's people in God's house, doing the right things. I always like youth activities in the church when they're conducted properly, because you know what? That's a good time to have good times, and it's a good place, and it's protected. It's not crazy. And they're not getting the bad influences. So I submitted unto you today five main passages about the biblical premise, how it is very true about this issue of exposure, isn't it? The exhortations make it very clear. Come out from among them. Be separate. Think on the right things. Do you know why? Because what we think about is who we're going to be. Now let me offer you some lessons. I have some lessons and then an application, and I'll be done. There are four points to my message. The third point is the matter of these lessons. Let me just list these to you. Number one, we learn the behavior of people and the conditions around us. Now, I'm not the kind of individual that says, well, I want to blame a society. We have people do that all the time. Well, I can't help it. It's the people in school. It's my society. Well, you might not live in the best of conditions, but I'll tell you what, how you react to that still is your responsibility and your obligation. But the fact of the matter is, we learn the behavior of the people and the conditions around us. We see it in the workplace, we see it in the schools, we see it in the homes. And so it's because we assimilate, we learn from our exposures. Secondly, a lesson is not all of the time, but most often. Did you hear that? Not all of the time, but most often, descendants follow in their parents' footsteps. Good or bad. Not all the time, but most often. You know why? Because that's what they saw all their life. That's what they grew up with. And I know you can always have, you know, a preacher can have a wild child. That happens. I know that. And you can have lost people that have the best children in the world. I know that too. But generally speaking, this principle of exposure has its influence, has its impact. And so we see it all the time in our society where we have generational people that are takers. We have generational people that don't work. You know where a boy learns to be a man? By watching his dad. And where a girl learns to be a woman is by watching her mother. And sad it is when they aren't there through divorce. Then you're losing, aren't you? But the fact is, my children, my boys have learned about how to be a man and how to work and all that kind of thing by watching me. And they may or may not accept the same work ethic, or they may not accept the same family values or anything of that nature, but they've seen it, and I've had the influence for all their lives. They've seen what a godly mother is supposed to be. They've seen what a godly dad is supposed to be. I trust that that's what they've learned. But that doesn't mean that they will be it, but they certainly have a better shot than some. Fact is, that's why when parents beat kids, kids beat kids. And they beat their kids. And they beat their kids. You know why? Because that's what they learned all their life. And when a family member abuses alcohol, the two people in the home generally come up alcoholics. You know why? Because that's what they've seen all their life. It's a matter of exposure, isn't it? Am I saying something that's not true today? Or am I giving you the truth? Exposure is important. Number three, I realize that exposure is exposure, but the length of exposure does make a difference. Let me give you an example of that. You know, there are different lengths of exposure. I just categorize it this way. I list three things here. There's that flash exposure, you know. You might call it a temptation. I remember hearing about these people. They went and they rented a video that was a kid's video, and they put it on, and somebody put porn over it, you know, and so the kids were sitting there, and up popped this porn when they were supposed to be watching some kiddie video, and some pornography comes on. Well, I'm sure that the mother didn't sit down with the kids and say, okay, well, now let's talk about this. Let's see this again, and we're just going to let, you know, we're going to train you on this now that you've been exposed to it. I'm sure that never happened. But I guarantee you this, that 30 seconds or that minute that those children saw what they saw on that television will never be erased from their little brains. And it was a flash thing. It was a temporary thing, but they'll never forget it. That's just a flash exposure. It happens. It happens quite a bit. You're at work, somebody cusses, you can't take that back. You can't clean out. You say, well, my mom used to clean my mouth out with soap. Yeah, no, I don't care how much you scrub, you can't get rid of it because it's already went in there. So if somebody says something bad, if somebody gives you a dirty joke or you hear something you ought not hear, you can never take that back. But it's flash. You understand what I'm saying? It's quick. It's in and out. It's gone. You'll never see it again. You won't probably not hear it again. But that's the kind of exposure there is. Secondly, I would submit unto you the linger. You're reading the scriptures about Lot, how he lingered, you know. Some people linger. The temptation is there, the thought is there, the sound is there, the vision is there, whatever it is there, and they'll linger, kind of hang around a little bit. Maybe not a long period of time, but they'll hang around. And so something you might be on your internet, and then something might have popped up on your screen, you get a pop-up there, and it's a flash thing, and you go, oh, that's not very good. You need to hit the X, but you linger for just a little bit. And you look at it for just a little bit, and then you hit the X. So you have the flash, you have the linger, but then, of course, is the indulge. Those things that you indulge in. All types of exposure, different levels, and it does make a difference. I would much rather have a flash exposure than an indulge exposure. Unless the exposure is a good thing or a positive thing, then I would rather have as much of the good thing as I can. Does that make sense? And let me submit unto you as I finish these lessons, number four, this is true regarding good or evil. See how the things I offer you are negative, aren't they? Pretty much, but it's concerning good too. I'd rather be in the house of the Lord. I'd rather hear the Word of God and hear the songs of the Lord than to be in the workplace hearing somebody swear up one side and down the other. What kind of exposure would you like? It's good or evil. Either way, we're affected by it. Now, let me give you an application. This is my closing, if you will. Just a few things and I'll be done. Let's take, for example, the matter of the parents with children. And, well, if my math is right, there's 168 hours in a week. Every one of us has 168 hours. It's 24 hours in a day. 168 hours. On average, I think the child goes to school. And I know it's easier to fit a child. I can put the work people because the work people work much more than the children go to school. But let's just take a child. Child goes to school on average 6 hours a day. That's 24 hours in a week. I think it's more than that, but I'd just say 24 hours out of that week, kids in school. The average child, just the average, watches 3 hours of television a day. Well, that's 21 hours of television added to the 20, what was it? I forgot the numbers. The 30 hours for the school, 5 days a week, 6 hours a day, 52 hours. It's a lot of hours. And you know some people, what they'll do, their parents, they'll say, well, I don't care much about God and church. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send the kids to Sunday school. And so they'll send the kids to Sunday school and they say, okay, now what they're saying is, church, you fix them, you help them in this hour that I give to you. Now think of that. You got a child that has over 50 hours of just school and television, let alone anymore the texting, the tweeting, and internet and all that kind of stuff. The sports, you name it, all the things that encompass the time of any of us. And you send your kid to Sunday school and say, well, I hope that hour makes a difference for him. Well, we pray that it will, and we know that God can do all things. But you know what? It's foolish of us to think that our children can spend all their time with all their friends and cronies at the school doing bad things, thinking bad things, talking about bad things. And if I don't do anything to contradict that or to counteract that at home, that hour is not likely to help them very much. It's way too much out of proportion, isn't it? Does that make sense to you? It's most likely to have a very small impact. And so, you know what it is? It takes the parents to say, I'm going to do what I can to teach you godly values every day of the week. And so, it's not just an hour in Sunday school. And if you come to all the services here, you get Sunday school, you get Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and Wednesday night, you get 4 hours. Well, that's good. That's better than three or better than two or better than one. But there's still a lot of work parents have to do because they are much more exposed to the other thing than they are to godly values. So I encourage you to keep in mind this matter of exposure. If you want, you may turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 because this example was borne out, I believe, in a fellow by the name of Lot. And you remember this guy, he was Abraham's nephew and they separated and he decided to dwell over there. He pitched his tent towards Sodom and he just really chose a poor living situation. And but here's what's said about Lot. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 8 it says, "For that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." He was tormented with it because that's what he saw, that's what he heard. He was around it all the time, and that just tormented his soul. And that was a negative for him. And what we learn from these things is what we can apply is that the amount of exposure does make a difference. What do I expose myself to? And how long do I expose myself to it? Because that's going to have an impact upon us. It's going to have an impact upon me. It's going to have an impact upon you. It's going to have an impact upon my children. I submit unto you then, since we learn by observation and we learn through example, it is necessary that we surround ourselves with positive, edifying people and circumstances. I think that's the best. I know it can't always be. Some people can't afford Christian school. And even in Christian school, you've got some really rotten people. I understand that. But you make the best of what you have. I went to public school. I went all the way through public school. And I saw them selling dope in the classrooms. And I saw that. But you know what? I didn't go to the parties. And I didn't go to their dances. And I didn't do all their things. I didn't care to be around them. God had saved me. I went to church. I spent my time with the people at church. I didn't spend my time with the people at the school. I had some friends from school, and we had some fellowship and all that, but it wasn't bad things. We didn't go out drinking. We didn't go out cruising around and all that kind of thing. We didn't do it. And if they did want to do that, I would have said no anyway. And I'd said, I'm not doing that. We have to expose ourselves to things which are pure and positive and open. Let that come to us. Let that express to our hearts. Then I would submit unto you that exposure is very important. So we must limit the evil and cater to the holy. The more you can keep off the bad apples and keep away from the leaven, the better off you'll be. The more you can keep away from the evil and the corruption, the better off you'll be. Submit yourself to those things which are holy and pure. Philippians 4:8 said to think about those kind of things. So let me encourage you. May God grant us the grace to commit ourselves to giving time to God and godly things. That's why coming to church is an important thing. That's why taking time to make it here. And yeah, it's only 4 hours a week, but it's better than one. It's better than nothing. It's a good thing to be here. It's good for you to read your Bible at home and to seek the Lord in His presence in the house. That's a good thing. And so you can limit what you watch and watch those things which are edifying. It's just much better on you. Do you know why? Because all those things which we're exposed to will have an impress upon us. It will affect us. Let me return back to the modern illustration I gave about the violence and what we've learned in our culture. And I quote, the American Academy of Pediatrics reports that by age 18, the average American child will have viewed about 200,000 acts of violence on television alone. For some, there is concern that children who are inundated with the images of shootings, bombings, and rapes will become desensitized to such violent acts and possibly learn to see them as valid responses to life stresses. And I'll tell you, we see that all the time. That's how kids respond anymore. They don't deal with it. They just pull out the gun and start shooting. Some research has been done to support the idea that violent thoughts and behavior increase after exposure to violent films, music, television, or video games. Well, I think that's just common sense, isn't it? The argument of observational learning, that children learn by imitating what they see, is at the core of the majority of these studies. And that's where it comes down to it, isn't it? Children imitate what they see. But you know what? So do adults, because what I've learned is every one of us who are adults are just children at heart. And what I see in the workplace is what you see on the playground. You ever notice that? You have the bullies and you have the leaders and you have the followers and all the things that happen on the playground happens in the workplace. Can happen in the home. Isn't that something? You thought you grew out of all that stuff. No, it's the same kind of thing. The competition, all that stuff. You know why? We are what we are. Exposure is exposure. And so we just can't limit it to the children and say, oh, well, you're talking about kids today. It doesn't have anything to do with me. It has everything to do with you and me. It's a matter of exposure. Romans 16:19 says at the last part of the verse, he says, I would have you to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. That's my exhortation to you. Do all that you can to be wise unto that which is good. Surround yourself with that which is good. Listen to that which is good. Watch that which is good. Be around people that are good. And be simple concerning evil. The less you know about corruption and evil, the better off you are. Because if you go with a furious man, you're going to learn his ways. And if you run with a rotten crowd, you're going to turn rotten yourself. And if you don't, it will only be by the grace of God. Aren't you glad for God's mercy upon us? You that are here that are lost, it's good that you're here. Because you can hear about God. You can learn His Word. And this might be your only exposure to the things of God. Could be. Well, I pray and I know that God is able to overcome all the circumstances in your life. And I pray that God would use the good that you hear, the truth that's being presented, to open up your heart. And I pray that you'd be saved. You see, Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth nearly 2,000 years ago. He lived a perfect life. He was God manifest in the flesh. Never did anything wrong, but he was crucified as a sinner, though he never sinned. And Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and risen again. And as he was doing that on the cross, the Bible says he bore the sins of many. Jesus took sin upon himself as he was a substitute for sinners. And so he was buried, but he rose again the third day. And he's alive right now. He's at the right hand of the Father. One of these days he's coming back. And Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And if you never hear anything else, if you never read anything else, if this is the only time you're ever exposed to it, I want you to know you're a sinner, condemned to a devil's hell. You can't fix that. You can't make that right. But Jesus Christ died for sinners, and he'll give you eternal life if you repent and believe. Will you turn to Christ? God moves on you, convicts your heart, draws you. Would you surrender, just yield to Christ? Would you believe and be saved? I know the time that we offer you is very little compared to everything that you have in your life. 4 hours in this church, if you come to every service, is very difficult to overcome 168 hours in the week. But God is able. And so you have been exposed to truth today. May that truth make a difference in your heart. May you choose to linger around that truth. May you choose to indulge in the truth and let God make a difference in your life. Sinner, that you might be saved. Christian, that we might be more attuned to what's going on around us and get rid of the evil and bring in the good. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? We're going to sing a song of invitation. And the invitation simply is this, is while...